Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode. We are now delighted to introduce our new sponsor, Orga Retro. Go retro with orgaretro.com, specialists in county retro style clothing.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast episode number 103. It's championship season and I'm looking at some very happy faces here. I'm joined by Stephen Cronin, Sean Smith and Colin Purcell. While we'll hopefully be joined by Sean Flynn, a new addition to the team later on in the hour. First up, there's only one place to start. Tipperary, we are back 5:22, belted in against the Banner. Are the hotels booked for July, Stephen?
Not quite yet, especially after this weekend's results. But look, no matter what way you paint it up, it's a fantastic result. There was the negatives down there. There was one or two little things that would give you worries. But we went out, Tipperary went out there, a win, and that's all that mattered. How they got it, we didn't care. Watching the game, it was the most anxious and nervous, I suppose, of a first half of hurling I've watched Tipperary in a long time, because make no bones about it, the pressure's on one team this year, and that's Tipperary, to respond after last year. We go out and be the whipping boys of Munster again this year, and it's a very bleak time ahead of us. To go down to Clare, them lads go down to Clare, you can be sure a lot of them had a lot of nerves in them, you know, a lot of pressure on Tipperary going down there. A lot of pressure on management to deliver, and they duly delivered, thankfully. You know, it was a fantastic result. Fantastic performance in patches. You know, there was a lot to work on, but we got out of Clare now with the win, and you know, that sets us up nicely for next weekend.
Definitely. Sean, I think you were the fence sitter when we were looking at our preview pod. I think you went for the draw.
No, I went for Tip to win by 6 points and scoring loads of goals,
I think I tipped by 8 points. I wasn't too far from Ireland. The late goal conceded now. So look, we were helped on our way. There's no question about that. We kind of got definitely two, arguably three kind of soft goals. But like, where do you think that leaves Tipperary now, that performance?
It's firstly, a win is all we need. Right? I don't want to lose the eight championship games in a row, like, you know, first win in nearly 2 years. So straight off the bat, his positivity, as Colin said, they're on the air. Just get wins. Like, that's what we want. To get momentum going. Like, we're gifted scores. 1-3 up after the 3 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but then Robert the Green, we got some Robert the Green. Like the other years, we don't get any of it. Should be lessened off again. So should be white balls. So we got a bit of luck, to be fair. We'll take it. But like, there are stages in the second half when usually tip team might deflate a bit. Our defence, I think, held up well there in the second half under a bit of pressure. Like, we didn't let Clare get back in too easy either. We kept him pushing out. And then we're scoring them from our own puck outs there, kind of at the opposite end. And, like, and then our subs coming on. Sean Ryan 1-1, you know, kind of second midfield there, set up to go there for Sean. So, like, plenty to work on, but the positivity is definitely take away from it.
And I suppose, Colin, we always felt that Jake Morris, and, you know, there's probably plenty more in him still, has, you know, the big performance for the big day. But, like, he certainly delivered then on Sunday and was the catalyst for a massive, I suppose, performance for Tip.
Yeah, Kevin, without doubt, Jake was man of the match for us. You know, he was unreal last Sunday. I wrote it down, 3-5 through direct scoring and running at the goals, like, which is, you know, it's Lara Corbett, Jamie Callan-esque scoring, you know, so that was brilliant. And I suppose another aspect of his game, we saw him running back to dispossess with Ryan. He hit Rory Hayes a good shot as well. Like, so it was a big statement performance, I suppose, is what you'd say from Jake. As the lads have said as well, look, I mean, like, the first emotion I had after the game was one of absolute relief, just relief that we'd won the game, you know. And it was a funny old game, I suppose. They're all funny old games, but this was a funny old game in that we were, as the lads said, we were 1-3 up after a few minutes and then, you know, got a bit jittery before halftime. And actually at halftime, I was worried. I thought, Jesus, like, our third quarter performances haven't been good all year, you know. That time after halftime, actually even going back before this year, has been a time when we've been vulnerable. But whatever was said at halftime and whatever attitude that the boys came out with in the second half, they sort of kept Clare at arm's length throughout that second half. And, you know, got a couple of nice scores and nice goals as well. Just give a mention to a couple of the players, you know, Jake, obviously, we've spoken about there. Talk Garrod O'Connor as well, got two really good points just before halftime to keep the scoreboard ticking over when Clare were coming strong. Shamie Kendi worked his socks off as usual, you know, maybe not as flamboyant, but not as noticeable to some people, but I thought he did well. We've been talking all year about the full back. I think the whole county's been talking about the full back. I thought Breen was solid enough throughout. Mark Rogers did well for the first goal. That's going to happen, you know. Can't win every ball that came in. So thought he did fine. I think Stevens alluded to maybe a little bit of the worries about the half back line. I have concerns about the half back line. I think everybody has, especially given what we saw Cork do on Sunday. You know, for legs again, that would be a worry. Same with Brian McGrath. I thought he did fine, got a good first half. So, you know, but yeah, look, you could balance every in every game you're going to have positives and negatives, you know. So I think probably definitely more positives than negatives, but it wasn't a flawless performance. But it doesn't have to be a flawless performance once we got the win.
Absolutely. You know, as you said yourself, the only thing that there was a bit of trepidation, I think, maybe on the podcast building up to that Clare game, because, you know, they were coming, they looked beatable, but like the fear for Tipperary was, you know, if you lose that one, it's a lot, you know, you're down to Cork next game. And, you know, you've probably like a Limerick game that was almost being wrote off. So, like, you're looking at non-progression again after straight away 2 years in Munster. Like, Stephen, you know, we got the win. Pick up on Colin's point there about the half-back line. Clare get 323 in total. You know, I think Aidan McCarthy got 4 from play. What would you do, you know, not putting on the spot, to maybe tighten up that Tipperary defence as a unit? Like, is it just a question of kind of just trying to get them maybe working that bit harder or being that bit sharper and cuter after a game? It comes
to after going a bit. You are the positional play comes into play as well. I thought, look, their half forwards, they were electric, running everywhere, and there was even a stage there where I showed Ronan gasping for breath, like, you know, but that's come from just lads running absolutely everywhere for the first 20 minutes. And there's going to be that initial, you know, you're hanging for breath, you know, the legs are burning. But we had the wind as well at that stage. And so, at times with the wind, the opposition falls back a bit. therefore, and then the ball is traveling further, and you're creeping out the field when you probably shouldn't be. Second half, when we were against the wind, we were far more compact. You know, we had so much support for the half back line with between the midfielder and half forwards playing that little bit deeper. I think that's the key for us. Like, if we're going to leave, no matter who the wing backs are, if we're going to leave them with an acre in front of them, well, then as a forward, you'd be delighted to see it. You know, so I think we have to be a little bit more compact, a little bit more disciplined around the midfield and the half forward, as in we're taking a couple of steps back to it. Now, you know, they need to support the inside line as well, but I think stop the running game, you know, as best we can, get it physical, make it physical. And I think we have the hurlers in a physical game. To touch back on the second half, when I alluded to the first half, I was nervous watching it. Strangely enough, in the second half, even though there was a couple of goals, we you know, a couple of plays that we were a little bit shaky at, I never felt that Tipper were going to lose that second half. You know, I thought they played far better hurling as a team, as a Tipperary unit. They played far better. They were more compact, you know, and they dealt with the Clare threat for the most part brilliantly, you know. And then what we see up top, like, I would be a big critic of Jake Morris's work rate off the ball, but it was outstanding last week. And, you know, even we got a bit lucky on a few of their puck outs, and the keeper wasn't great, but he still had to go in and tackle the keeper and overturn them. Like, you know, he still had to make them runs, dispossess them. So when we're getting that work rate up top, you know, the lads, the half forward line, they can support the back line a little bit. It is well known that Ronan Marr is not the paciest, neither is Brian McGrath. But I'm fairly sure we went into the 2019 or just before the round robin, and we had the same concerns going into face Cork as well. They're going to run us everywhere. We're too slow, and we blew them out of the water. We can't allow them to run us everywhere. We have to make it a congested middle third, and I think we're physically more powerful than Cork, and that's the marker we have to lay down.
Yeah, and I suppose, Sean, we can't talk about the Clare game now without talking about the Cork game. You know, because the two, that, you know, we're coming off one great win. We're playing, I suppose, we'll talk to Colm in a minute, our resident Waterford correspondent, about Davy Travis down on Shoreside. But, you know, Cork will definitely have their tails up. It's a Saturday evening game. You're probably talking, you know, the two teams winning their first game will probably add 10,000 onto that crowd. So whoever wins this game on Saturday is in a very envious position after two games played. You'd probably go for a draw on this one as well.
Oh, they're taking on his points on the board, especially with Clare getting the win against Limerick, kind of throws the mathematics out of the window that we kind of worked on there on the year. Like, but it's hard to know, like Colm and touch on the out friendly neighbours blow off for there, but like they were still stuck in Semper Stadium there. Like, they were just, did that game against Limerick take so much out of them? I think it did. Like, Carr kind of could watch back, sit that, but then sometimes the Cork team going in like that fresh often gets blown away as well. But Cork are very impressive. The crowd below are pumped up. There's 31,000 low. Like, you expect 4,000 this Saturday. You know, they'd be baying for blood. And like, they win this, they'd set them into a good position. But I'd have every confidence going down to Cork. Like, I think actually a good thing them giving them up for that kind of frame, and they got their points over. Did they drive on and go for goals? Not really. No, they just knew what to do. Like, we're going down, we saw what they can do, and I think we've every chance they are coming on Saturday evening.
I think it's hard to back it up, and you know, two things. I suppose Waterford did create a lot of goal chances there, Colm, on Sunday. Like, you know, look, they butchered all sorts of chances, but it, you know, for you, like, you know, I know Cork got 27 scores, but there's definitely something there for Tip, isn't there?
There is, definitely, Kevin. I suppose, like, you'd be a little bit conflicted about the game last Sunday. You know, on the one hand, I take Sean's point about, maybe Cork would have liked a harder game, or maybe did they learn very much, or they didn't drive on when they could have drove on. But at the same time, I don't think that game knocked too much out of them on Sunday. You know, you could argue that the Waterford-Limerick game knocked a lot out of both of their teams, and they both ended up losing on Sunday. So the point I'm making is I was hoping that Waterford, well, I'd never hoped they'd win anything, but I was hoping that they'd at least flake into Cork and, you know, give them a battle and, you know, they might pick up a few injuries and, you know, they'd be bruised bodies and that. But that game on Sunday was more like a challenge match from what I could see. You know, Waterford were absolutely diabolical in the first half. And actually, to go back to the week before, Kevin, I know Waterford got a lot for their performance against Limerick, and I'll give them the Limerick loss. But, I mean, again, Limerick were down to 14 men for an awful lot of the second half. And, you know, the game was there for Waterford to win, and they still couldn't win the game. You know, so I didn't buy the narrative that Waterford were particularly good the previous Sunday. I thought if they were good, they would have beaten Limerick. Liam Cahill has a good record against Cork teams, as we know, going back, you know, back to his minor under 20 days. So I don't think going to Cork will hold that fears for Cahill. I have to hold my hand up and say I was actually the one who called the draw. I want to leave Sean off the hook a little bit. It was me that made that outrageous outrageous comment. But, you know, just as well, Kevin, just something I meant to mention as well, and it's worth noting, like, actually two things. Our subs made a good difference coming in against Clare down in Ennis. Sean Ryan, who we'd flagged up, I think, the week before as maybe a bolter out of the blue for us, came on and got 1-1. Conor Bowe came on and got a score. Mark Keogh came on and made an impression. So I was glad to see our subs come on and make a difference. And I think they'll be very important again, obviously, next Saturday night. The other thing just to mention very quickly is, like, Stephen and Sean have both mentioned sort of fronting up to Cork in the physical battle. Two players who I think we sort of earmark ourselves as lads who would front up in the battle would be Tynan and Dan McCormack. I thought the game bypassed them last Sunday against Clare, and I just would wonder, are both of them nailed on starters for Saturday night, or could Conor Stakelin maybe come in? Because again, he made quite an impression when he came in. And lastly, again, in fairness to us, the week before, and just going back to the point that has been previously made as well, we did predict a shootout against Clare. We thought it was going to be high scoring. It was high scoring. And I'd be expecting something similar again on Saturday night, to be honest with you, Kevin. I think this will be, you're going to be in the high 20s for points. And, you know, I can see definitely a few goals from both sides as well.
And last Sunday there, like, the Rangers scored, Cork had 10, 11 lads that scored a pint to each as well. So they're scoring points over the field. Again, they were given the time and space to do it. So as Colin said there, like, will you mix up, maybe put Connor in, just kind of be tight in midfield, be the aggression work there. The game probably bypassed time last day. Like, I still start. There's no reason why I wouldn't. Like, no, their lads are bringing the aggression. Like, let Cork lads get the ball. Hit them the hard hit first. Tell them we're there for a game. Like, you know, like, Waterford weren't there for the game, but their legs are probably gone from Limerick game. And in the second half, then they kind of got a chance on Cork, but they had too much to do, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't even think that second half was much good from Waterford even. I think you're being generous there. Like, I'm saying it was just the first half was the problem, but... Like,
before we move on, there, are we being a bit generous to Waterford and Limerick, saying they were wrecked from the week before? Like, it's a week's recovery, you know, with the strength and the conditioning and the diets nowadays. Like, do they really need a week to be fully recovered? I think we're probably being a bit kind to them. I think mentally it's a mental issue more so than a physical issue. You know, Limerick are trying to, as Kylie was giving out about, they've been softened up there by saying they're the greatest team ever. Maybe they're mentally, you know, they're lacking a small bit. And Waterford, I don't know. I'd say they're mentally fed up with Davey now, to be honest.
Already?
I'd say so, yeah. From what we're hearing, anyway.
Jeez, I won't. Davey was going to the Dillon Park.
Allegedly.
There, I won't have a bad word said about Davey. I saw that coming into the podcast there now. And fair play to all the inter-county managers that turned up. Obviously a great cause and a great... by Clinity there, just to get the shout in there. But yeah, the second coming hasn't exactly worked out there, Colin, has it? Much to your disappointment.
Yeah, I think Stephen referred to Davey as celebrity manager last week on the podcast. Like, look, again, like, we saw like Davey has form for this, Kevin. I mean, like, if you go back to 2019 semi-final that we keep going back to when Tip beat Wexford, again, he had that game won and tipped down to 14 men and for some reason sat back. there was an element of that again last Sunday against Limerick with 20 minutes to go, where they a point or two behind an open man. The time then was to go for the throat, and they didn't. You know, again, they seemed to play this sort of, I heard it referred to as PlayStation hurling over the weekend, you know, very methodical, you know, very little spark, very little innovation. So, like, you know, this is the third time I think that Davies managed a team in Championship that have been up a man and have failed to win. Now, like, you know, I want to give them credit. They did run Limerick close. And like we were saying that Limerick could wipe them out the week before, to be fair about it, and they didn't, you know. But as I said, I still think if they were any good, they'd have beaten Limerick that day. And then, you know, we see Limerick come out the next day and actually get beaten. So, you know, Limerick are as vulnerable at the moment as they probably have been any time over the last few years. So definitely the win was there for Waterford if they could have taken it. But they were very bad on Sunday, lads. There's no, I mean, did they score 1 point from play in the first half? I mean, that's shocking in Championship Ireland. I don't care who's over you. And you know, to be fair to Davey, which is not words I say often, like, the players have to shoulder some responsibility for that as well. I mean, for the love of Jesus, they're better than that.
It could be another third manager in a row that they throw under the bus, like if Davey's a 1 year man. But I suppose, showing what it does mean, maybe that is probably 3 from 4 in Munster. 3 teams going through, and we all thought that Limerick could disappear over the horizon. They've lost the game now, so it's going to be a battle for them as well. How would you look at their two kind of games there now? Would you be a little bit worried if you're John Kiley, or is the 3 weeks perfect now to reset and normal service will resume in Turles?
Like, they've the 3 weeks to look back in these two games. Like, Clare had a great start first half and a great start second half, even though they went in, one down at half time. Limerick got that late going in the first half. Clare were the better team in the first half. And at half time, thinking, like, Limerick come out now, you know, do what Limerick do. But Clare come out and did they get 1-2 with our player, 1-3, and they just kept going. Like, but Limerick in second half, they didn't really seem to much answers, lads. Like, kind of freeze kept them in a bit, and the late goal as well. Like, they kind of looked flat, so to speak, but then we're going back to the game before and take them out, so we'll just give them excuses. But Limerick was a strange one. Like, but I always thought, watching it, Clare were going to win for some kind of weird feel. Like, you know, even with the first half forwards, they always looked like they had the right chance and just keep Limerick out and keep scoring down with him. And like, some of the scores flattered Limerick on this late goal. They won the first half as well, soft and a freeze. So like, they got Limerick got 220. Like, you know, they're usually in the 30-point kind of mark there. So Clare under the job on them, and this is throwing the Munster Championship absolutely wide open as ever. Like, I was talking to lads down on Kenny the other night now, and they're like, what the hell, like, and compared to Leinster, they're saying this is just mental. Like, name the two teams that'll go. We said Waterford won, but the other one there, he couldn't name it, maybe. Waterford might qualify. They come out in shock. It's like, they could.
Well, look, we went into Tippett lost their first 3 games last year, and they were still mathematically in with a chance. And probably after 10 minutes against Cork, that Cork game in Semple last year, you were probably getting out the calculator with Tip a few points up, like, and nearly getting, you know, a goal. So, like, anything could happen in Munster Championship Ireland. But nobody saw Limerick, I think, struggling as much, maybe just beating Waterford by 2 points and losing to Clare in the Gaelic grounds, like, you know.
Yeah, Limerick hadn't their usual score neither. Like, you know, the range of scores is very limited, like, you know. He Lynch kept a point. Donnie Morris, he got, what, 2 probably one for freeze. You know, so the Clare limited the scores for Limerick as well. They weren't popping scores over ever.
And, you know, look, that bench as well doesn't maybe look as strong as people were saying, kind of as well. Like, you know, maybe, look, no offence, and Graham Mulcahy's probably best days are behind them. You know, and they're still turning to him maybe to rescue a game. So, you know, there's definitely hope there for the chasing pack.
I don't think any of Limerick's subs actually scored. I don't think, like, you know, the Casey, Hegarty.
I don't think they made a great impact against Waterford.
Reedy,
well,
Cahy, no, like, it's not like, so comparing them, I know we're going back to, like, the Tip lads, Tip subs came on and scored, and other teams came on and scored. So, like, you know, that Limerick bench didn't come on and do that major kind of dictate the game. Maybe we could be sitting here in a few weeks' time and Limerick subs could have destroyed us, like, you know.
Again, yeah, this podcast is going up on the Limerick dress to the wall, or McManus will be piping it into the whatever, into their manner or whatever they're training. But lads, you know, that's the Munster Championship. It's as good as ever. I suppose we have to talk about the Europa League now. Leinster Championship, the dwarf kind of competition or whatever. You know, look, it's probably a foregone conclusion. We'll be talking about a Kilkenny-Galway final in a few weeks' time. But they had a rehearsal there on Sunday afternoon. Galway rescued a draw. And he managed to catch this one. Any big thoughts on it?
I was inside that in Kilkenny now, and it was a strange old atmosphere, strange game. I don't know. I think it's just from watching the Munster games and that it just kind of lacked that bit of both teams, like, we're still qualified no matter what happens here. And a draw actually, more down the ground, they're walking to get through. Like, the Galway point equalizes it. I don't think he'll ever score that again. It's like Joe Cannon's won the All Ireland against Oles. It was just off the screws or a bear. You know, one thing I noticed there, Shefflin on the sideline, he does some giving out, lads. Oh my God, he was giving out everyone and everything but short.
Do you think that's a bit of a show, Sean?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, if we're getting paid the money, you have to show your desire and passion. Like, you know, Cody even stood there, like, he was mounting at everyone, officials, fourth officials, and that. Well, Kenny showed the game out of sight there in the second half. He had a right goal chance. I'm not sure who came across from the stand there, the Cody. Not sure. And he just blazed the wall wide left of the goals. Like, that would rattle it, Horn. But both teams hit bad wides. There's loose times, no pressure on the balls. There was cornerbacks from out the ball, hitting it up, coming back again. It was very lackadaisical. But these two teams can peak and not are in the same final qualifying. Like, there's no need for these to go and hammer tongs now, like Munster.
Mm. Yeah, Kevin, yeah, you touched on it there. You said it was the rehearsal for the Leinster final. That's all it was, the rehearsal. You know, they're going through the motions now, them two teams in Leinster. And as Sean said, they don't have to peak until later on. In Munster, you have to peak. You have to be ready for the start of the championship. You're going to be taking some chance to be ready halfway through the championship, which, unfortunately, and fortunately for the Leinster teams, that's all they have to do.
Yeah, but what? Like, you know, again, we all love the Munster Championship. We spent the last 20 minutes talking about there now, but are we kind of maybe shooting ourselves in the foot from an All-Ireland perspective and keeping it?
Tradition is a big, big, big thing in the GAA, and there's a lot of traditions you don't want to see lost. But how long before, you know, the weight of the Munster Championship?
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Are the teams competing in the Munster Championship? How long are they going to look at Wexford, Dublin? You know, and say, look, geez, like, you have to win one game, really, and you're qualified. You have to be the best of the rest, really. Whereas, look, for Clare to get back into the mix this year, they've had to beat the All-Ireland champions in their own backyard to put them back in the mix. You know, Galway and Kilkenny had an old dandy mixed match there at the weekend. You know, they're not getting ready for until the Leinster final. Like, look, we said it here a couple of weeks ago that Antrim could spring a surprise on Dublin. It was a draw that first day around. But, like, you're looking at the likes of that there, and you've seen it. And I know Wexford, they're not too great either. Like, but, you know, if Wexford, Dublin and Antrim were in Munster, you'd be thinking they'd be the whipping boys. You know, but one of them are going to get through. You know, and look, I suppose if we get out of Munster, we don't care about it. You know, but it's when it's the good teams that constantly won't get out of Munster. That's when they start kicking up a fuss.
Yeah, but look, I suppose the other side of it is only one team can win it. So, you know, are you better, like, if you're off a little bit off the pace in Munster, the likelihood is, you know, like, you're not going to be lifting Lee McCarthy in July. So,
yeah. One thing about Galway is a very balanced team as well. There's a lot of players on the same level, you know, no dominant force. They're all over the field. I thought they're very good, like, in that kind of thing. So, like,
I think Nyland really showed up again that second half.
And then the Island got what? Got all three, one or two from play, and then Concannon got probably 1-5, I say 1-6, no. So, but then everyone else in the field probably got a point, to be honest. I think Dresden could have scored 1 point each, like, the whole rest of the team, you know. So, but it was shooting, it was massive scoring half time at 16-1, 13, and even that included multiple wides on both sides. But I do say dress rehearsal, and it's kind of a debate for another day going forward. And once teams looking at this, going, we're busting our arses here, playing four games, you know, like Clare getting their first win since 1889 in Limerick, you know, like, so to get that might get them through in Munster, but like, how long are we going to stay looking at it? But then will the Munster Council, like, these are absolutely money spinners, like 30,000 against 40,000 against, like,
yeah,
they're not going to turn
the Munster counties are kind of like adamant that they won't support any change that will result in the loss of the Munster Championship.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, yeah,
well, I think as well, I mean, look, the Munster, like, I don't think there's any comparison between the two, as you call it. It's Champions League versus Europa League at the moment. I think that probably sums it up. Now, that doesn't mean that when we get to the All-Ireland stages that any of the Leinster teams couldn't beat any of the Munster teams on a given day, because we know that can happen. Absolutely, that can happen. But at the moment, there's no comparison between the two championships. Munster's far ahead. And I suppose we'll be talking about it a little bit later on, but it's a shame that, you know, as many people as possible didn't get a chance to see the Limerick their game, particularly on Saturday night.
Absolutely. And look, we may as well talk about that now, lads, because for me, just a year ago, when you look at that, probably the best game, you know, like for the last couple of years, bar that Munster final, and very few people saw it, bar the hurling snobs, you know, that have GA go. And look, I know it's money and get with the 21st century and all that, but GA go, like, it's a poor platform for me. Like, it's almost like going to the college thing 10 years ago, linking it up to the laptop into the screen to show it on a good quality picture, and you're reliant on kind of Wi-Fi being available and all that. Like, just so many problems with it. Like, I can just see this one kind of snowballing, like, kind of people missing out on games. GA has to be a little bit different to me in that promotion of the games. You only get that short window to promote the games now that the championship season, I suppose, is more condensed. And, like, you're giving up a prime time Saturday evening to whatever else was on. There was probably some Super 26 rugby game or whatever was on, like, you know, Leinster hammering some team 40-0 or whatever, like, on, like, you know, and just we're seeding Saturday, prime time Saturday, like, to just only the fans will, if you're really kind of interested in it, will you think of logging in and watching?
Yeah, even trying to get it on in place, amazing. Wednesday weekend and Saturday, and the post trying to get it in, and the covers are coming and going, and Jesus, and we're one stream behind, and one lad said, the game is over, and we're a couple minutes behind still, and you know, to just, because, oh, no, trying to get it, if you know what we're doing, it's just when it works, it's great, but it just didn't work in the weekend. The app was failing on Saturday all day. I tried to log into the app most of the week to watch on the Fire Stick, to watch the Clare game back, and got in, loaded, didn't load, like, a contract, raised tickets with their sport, waste time. Like, it was, like, I don't mind paying if it works. This is the thing, like, I pay for Sky and it just works. I'll pay for you go if it works. But then every teething issues, and they're coming out saying there is issues. Just fix the issues and just get on with it. Like, Jesus Christ, like.
Yeah, it is extremely frustrating. Like, if you're elsewhere by your own house, and this is even aside from it not working, someone else mightn't have it. You know, you might need to be in another house, so you might, like, the brother-in-law's a 40 there. I had to, you go for a while, it's not on over there. You know, you might have to head off somewhere else, and it might be working there. I hate to criticize the GA too much. I hate to do, but this was a pure greed, I think. You know, the Sky contract was gone. And they had an opportunity here to show some big games too on our national TV stations. And to push behind the paywall, as I said, even people are paying for it and trying to download, that's not working properly. You know, these issues, they should have been teed out at the start of the year for them winter leagues or whatever they were. You know, for it to not to be on telly like that. And as far as I'm aware, the Tip and Cork game is on GAA Go as well this weekend.
And the football for Cuppy as well.
Like, so we'd all this bitching and moaning for so long about, oh, shouldn't never have been given to Sky and this and that. But they promoted the games. They showed the games. And when we turned on Sky to watch a game, we could actually watch the game. But now it has gone behind another paywall and we can't even watch the game. You know, I think it's like, these are our national games. There's not enough promotion done by Croke Park in conjunction with RTE as it is. Some of the hurling program, the Sunday game has gone to pot. Nobody cares about it anymore. And there's very little, you know, like, even advertising the big match coming up, very little of it anymore. And then for it to go behind the paywall, to see these big games behind the paywall and just fobbed off with GAA Go and new channel. And I think I read a stat, if you got it in and all the games worked out, €2 a game, that's great. Brilliant value. But half-time games, you're not going to watch. You're not going to watch, most of the time, you're not going to watch a defensive match that's up a football match up in the west of Ireland or up the north of Ireland. Do you know what I mean? To have it behind it, it's extremely frustrating. And I think it's a massive, massive own goal by the GAA.
Yeah, I think Kevin, the lads bring up, there's a couple of really interesting points that the boys have brought up there. Like first of all, the optics of this look really bad. Like, you were musing there about what was on Saturday night in RTE. Well, I can tell you what was on. It was a women's rugby match was on. And not only was it on the bloody television with nobody watching, it was also going out live on RTE Radio 1 as well. Like, so, like, I'm not begrudging any other sport or any other sex having their games on the TV. But I think if you asked the inverted commas playing people of Ireland, which they wanted to watch last Saturday night, it would have been the hurling all day, every day. So I think from an optics point of view, that looks really bad last Saturday night. The hurling should have been on and that's it. Second of all, Stephen raises a point about the promotion of the games. Like, I'm of a vintage now where, like, going back to the Guinness sponsorship of the hurling championship of the 1990s, and, you know, they did some really good advertising at the time about it. You know, you remember that, not men, but giants. You know, I can still remember that. And it's, you know, it's 25 years ago. Like, the games were promoted. There was a real excitement about the games coming up on television, and, you know, it got people talking about it. And I think it was Stephen or Sean said there about the Sunday game itself. I mean, we're bemoaning that the game wasn't on RTE last week. And I accept that. And I've said it should have been on RTE. But at the same time, like, the Sunday game leaves me cold, leaves me frustrated. At times, at least, it leaves me bloody angry, to be honest with you, because it's an appalling show now. I mean, the Sunday game was something that every GAA fan and every sports fan in Ireland looked forward to every Sunday night. You saw highlights of the games. You saw a bit of chat about the game. You saw analysis of the games. Like, nowadays, it's absolute. It's. I think the Tip Clare game, I think 4 minutes of it, lads, they showed. And then we had about the same for the Limerick-Waterford game. Now, I know that had been live on the television that day, but we had the spectre then of Shane Dowling, you know, completely sidestepping and overlooking the Limerick, if I can use the word filth, maybe, and trying to deflect away from it and get to...
Just to come in there, though, like, what you have is, like, the highlights package is still based on the old two or three games a weekend model. Like, there was no Saturday game on again, and there was two or three kind of good games on Saturday. Like, you know, as I said, everything is so condensed now. This is the peak season for championship. The next month is wall to wall between the football and the hurling round robin. Like, it's just everything. You need a, you know, and it's just like, even for the passive viewer would welcome, I think, a Saturday night kind of program, Saturday night highlights program at the very least, and a Sunday night kind of program. You know, like, it's just, if you, again, going back to promoting the game, you need to know what's happening. On that, lads, just kind of move it on a bit there. Oh, you would say a tricky draw for Tipperary footballers there on the Talton Cup. Not quite, you know, look, they got a bad beating off Kerry. I think it was 20-point beating in the end, 25 points or so to 5. Meade down and our old friends Waterford again, you know, that could be kind of like, I think where Waterford are going for a whitewash there, and that they might be targeting Tip footballers a bit for a good chance of a win. But, you know, for my money, and I wouldn't be an expert in this by any stretch of the imagination, would be Meade and Down are probably two of the teams that will probably be fancying a crack at that Talton Cup. So they're probably two of the trickier ones to get.
Yeah, Meade. Go on, Connor.
Sorry. No, go on, Sean.
No, just, like, Meade, I forget a bit by Offaly, but I kind of saw actually that game. I think it was on GA Go or the highlights on it. And yes, I half looked at it there one day. I don't know why, just it's on in the background. But like, Meade are poor. Like, I don't know. Awfully, the great went over. Like, I know, but then where we racked it, Down would be top of that. And Waterford will give a game any day. But like, what's our kind of desire this year? Not to kind of just to give her that thing a rattling kind of go. You don't know where we're kind of going in football at the moment, especially after league. But if you can finish with a win or two there, you know, and get it. One home, one way, one neutral, isn't it, Fenu?
Yeah, that's down. Meade away first.
Meade away, yeah. You'd rather maybe the Meade home and Waterford neutral, but, you know. But
bring where down. Where does Waterford neutral, I suppose? Crow Park?
I'll play in the back garden here, there'll be no one at. Sure, sort of pretty, we had to go double header with a tip off for hurling game. Then, oh, that's no, that's not, that's turtles. Yeah, can't do that, you know. But,
maybe they'd, geez, look, if it suits, probably different weekends. But look, might bring a bit of a crowd in early, like, but yeah, I mean, I think it's top two go through and a few kind of best third place teams as well. It's like one of those old school competitions, it's nearly as hard to go out of it as. to stay in it, but like, you know, that's my one, you know, the football, the main Sam Maguire football draw was made as well today, but some cracking groups there, but like, it should for me only be, you know, the top two, but they're scared to eliminate teams. Top two go through, let them play quarterfinals, and you still have probably the four provincial winners will probably be three or semi-finalists, like.
Yeah, I think it's the group winners are straight into the quarterfinals, Kevin, and then the runners-up New York and the three best third place teams compete in a preliminary quarterfinal. It's as you said, it's very, very convoluted. Like, you know, looking at the other groups, like the top seeds were Cavan, Meade, Limerick, and Fermanagh. So, you know, out of that, like, you know, Fermanagh, Cavan, Meade, like, it's not an easy group. Like, Meade won't be easily bet. No, I know that they're struggling under Colm O'Rourke, but they won't be easily bet in Navan. Down at all. Like, you know, the only plus for me, of course, is that were we to beat Waterford in the football, it would mean that Waterford have lost every single championship game that they've played this year so far at every grade in both codes. So, you know, every cloud has a silver lining as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I suppose we better talk about that when we talk about the Tipperary, I suppose using that in the prism of Tipperary's underage, recent underage progression there now. So the minors, I suppose, closed out their year, the under 17 with a win over Waterford, and then under-20s did what they needed to do against the same opposition and actually secured a home semi-final, which I think is a big bonus now against Clare. With Cork, could you say Cork did us a favour against Limerick maybe in the other game there? But it's Clare. I watched that first Clare game and I give Tip every chance there of winning that under-20 game next Monday night.
Yeah, we should have seen that game against Clare. At the end, we had chances. It was a cracking game, a good game. They're on the campaign as well, and we'll come on from that. Team has changed a good bit, but I wouldn't fear meeting Clare again. You know, our lads will have their heads screwed on there. And we know Water for their good confidence. We scored, you know, with a 3. What did we get? 3.26, was it?
Yeah. We
can see it. Yeah, but still, like, to kind of 3.13, but still to get the kind of win under the belt going into knockout. With these teams, you know, and that thing at underage, like, momentum underage games is key. Like, you see Waterford there, they just can't get a win. It's just knocking on to everything, isn't it, below? It's just killing them, I think. Like, the morale is gone, you know. It's like, you don't want that to happen to any, or if that happens ourselves, you know, if under 17s are losing, then our 20s lose. The whole feels back, like, you know.
Could you imagine a stat like Tip, you know, that's floating around on social media all week there now, that's like, you know, saying, you know, Tipperary have lost their last 14 or whatever championship games, all codes. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of seriously like the press and stuff if we're from the day or whatever. Like, as I said, Colin, Steve, and myself especially have a good chuckle at it. Like, you know, probably more than a good chuckle, but like, it just shows the underage, like the standards after going so far up in the last couple of years, you really have to be on the ball. Like, and know your development squads and all that from early stages. You know, we talked about kind of Tip maybe being off the pace in the minor this year, but Jesus, like, it's like Waterford giving their pick, like, are seriously poor.
Yeah, they should pull a few teams that just let Ballygunner take part for them. Like you have the one of the biggest clubs, the one of the biggest clubs in Ireland down there. And we see a stat there that they have to lose in every game so far. This, like, the reality is their footballers are targeting Tipperary so they won't be a whitewash. You know, that's has to be worrying times down in Waterford. You know, and like Waterford, the great support in the good days, you know, and the old support started getting slack there in the last few years. But, you know, they're heading back into the dark ages there, you know, as an also ran. And they're in a lot of danger of doing it. And there's something seriously wrong with the structures down there. But long may that continue, I'll say.
The thing about it as well, though, Kevin, like, you know, it's easy to gloat in that. I would make the point, like, at the under 20 match last Friday night, like with 5 minutes to go, 2-4 front, and we got a couple of goals at the end, which I thought, like, even though we were never going to lose the game when we were better, now don't get me wrong, definitely the scoreline at the end, I'm not sure if it was a 12 or 13 point win, if you know what I mean. I know it's been said on the scoreboard, but I don't know if we were 12 or 13 points better than Waterford last Friday night. But I suppose, look, I have to give some credit to Brendan Cummins and to Fintan O'Connor. We would have had, you know, we would have been questioning them maybe after the first two games, after the draw in Clare and a bad beating down in Cork. But they've definitely pulled it together in the last two games, beating Limerick. And I was glad Cork knocked Limerick out last week, because I wouldn't like to have had to face that Limerick team again in the semi-final, you know, because they were finishing very strongly against us when we beat them by a point. But just maybe to finish under 20s, if you don't mind me getting on my soapbox about this, I think this is another grade that the GA have fucked up, to be honest with you. Like, again, maybe as time goes on, things look a bit rosier, or things you look back on things with fonder memories. But I remember going under 21 matches against Limerick and against Cork and against Clare. You know, we'd have 10,000-15,000 people at the games on a Wednesday night in Thurles or in Limerick or in Cork or wherever it was. Mm. Like, the under 20 championship is another one of these championships that the GA just seem to want to get out of the way now. There was nobody really over in Thurles last week. Even the Limerick and Cork game, which was a great game on the same night down in Limerick, didn't seem to have a big crowd there. So, again, I don't know if it's the marketing, is it the time of the year that it's been played at, is it moving from under 21 to under 20? Is it the whole issue about not having your senior players available to you that Ben O'Connor had a go at in the interview after the game last Friday night? But I just think that it's another product that the GAA have tampered around with, and to me, they've lessened the spectacle and the enjoyment of that championship.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's like it's played kind of. We're overdosed the hurling last, say, a couple of weeks there. Like, if you want to get to every 17, 20 county game, and then your own club games weekend, you go play, you go 3 or 4 teams out in league games weekend with your club. Like, it's just not possible. Like, you know, and we'd love to get to season 20 games, and there were some of the best games there over recent years. But yeah, now, like, be fair, TG4 show them on YouTube live, and they're showing them prime time on TG4 on Friday night. So, like, TG4 doing the best thing they can with them, and fair play to them. But, like, it's just getting people at them and getting to talk about them. They're kind of a second or third kind of think now when they're talking about hurling at the moment. And a lot of lads, you ask them who is the three teams from Munster and Clinton, they wouldn't actually know, to be honest.
Absolutely. And before we leave the underage, big shout out to John Max, minor footballers as well. Daryl Darcy Cup final coming up, I think it is now. So, you know, great performance. Been keeping an eye on the results there. So they've had very strong results, to be clear, in the last round robin games. So it's just great. You know, look, senior footballers aren't in probably the greatest kind of patch ever at the moment, and not going to the Talton Cup and all that, but I think definitely that minor team are playing fine football by all accounts, and, you know, a lot of work has gone into them for the last few years, so fair play to all involved there. And there's the usual cohort involved doing a lot of strong work for Tipperary football that I think other counties would absolutely love to be involved.
Yeah, it's the one shining light, I suppose, on football here so far, Kevin, is the work that John and the boys are doing. It's really heartening to see, and they've a nice team there, and anyone who see, I saw, actually got to see one of their games. They have a very nice team, and they play a nice brand of football. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for Tip football, you know. And like the success of the senior panel, we'll say, in, you know, from 2016 to 2020 was based on successful you know, minor teams from 2011 and under 21 teams from a couple of years after that. So, you know, like the green shoots of recovery are there again. And, you know, as in most sports, things can be cyclical. So hopefully we've turned the corner with this bunch and we'll be stronger going forward in a few years in the senior.
Yeah. And then I suppose the last word, best luck to Tipperary Camogie. Is it in the semi-final that they're in this weekend in the league?
Semi against Waterford. Semi of Munster, isn't it? Semi of senior Munster against Waterford, yeah. Long car.
Great, so yeah. Fair play. They're
4:30, so if anyone is going down early, they can pop in, but it'll be a long day. So it'll be the following day when a lot of people home with that dive in place, isn't it?
In fairness to the social media lads, I think on the Premier Review are great at kind of giving the Camogie a kind of shout out and keeping us all updated on it. So, you know, welcome to see, like, you know, one county. Great to see Tip going well, whether Skittles or Camogie or absolutely anything, like, you know. So, yeah.
So Kevin caught it there the weekend. Go on. Who's going for the draw?
You know what? I'm going to go for a draw this weekend. I think a draw will suit both of them. So, I'll be that man on the fence this week.
Right, I'm going to stick to my guns from last week. I said last week, if we beat Clare, we'll go down to Cork and beat Cork, and I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah.
We'll beat them by, I said, 3 or 4, but there'll be about 7 goals scored. Who scored 7 of them?
Call them, last up.
Tip. Just Garrett. I'm never going to back against Tip, lads. You know that, but. This is bullshit statement I'm going to make. This is not an easy game. We know that. Like, it's going to be tough. I feel like, Kevin, you and I have been big sort of kind of exponents of Cork are going to eventually come good and win in All Ireland. Like, and I still think, like, I think Pat Ryan, they seem to have a guy now who has the respect of the players, and they've too many good hurlers not to flip and win in All Ireland eventually. Now, whether it'll be this year or not, I don't know. But I saw enough last Sunday that I would certainly be worried about next Sunday. And I saw, when I look back at the Tip Clare game, I saw things that would worry me about Tip's performance as well. So, great, be bullish, we'll win. But, it's like we spent half an hour there talking about Munster Championship and the closeness of it. Anything can happen on the day. So I'll give a tentative vote to Tip.
Based off, and I do think we do have the attacking weapons now to really seriously trouble, whereas they haven't been tested to date. That's a good hour. Well done, lads. Last the cover. So look, all the listeners, thanks again as always. We'll see you again hopefully after a Tipperary win down the east side next week. Plenty to talk about as usual. Thanks all.
Thanks, lads.
See you next.